It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Welcome back to the table, ladies. This is our Bible study segment, and so excited to have Connie back. Connie, welcome back.
Oh, thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, great to have you back. So far, the study is going great. A lot of good feedback, and the notes, of course, are on our Bible study tab at naomistable.com. And tell us where we're going to be in this chapter today.
All right. Well, we're going to be studying Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 5 to 11. And remember, yesterday we talked about Habakkuk's complaint to the Lord. Why, Lord? Why this evil? Why are you letting this happen? And today we're going to have God's answer. And really, God's answer could be summed up in, I am doing a work. And we're going to find out this is a work that Habakkuk didn't anticipate, and it actually makes him speechless. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to dive right into Habakkuk 1, verses 5 to 11. I'm going to read the first two verses, and we're going to talk about that, and then we're going to take the rest of the segment today as a chunk. So the Lord answers Habakkuk with, look among the nations and see, wonder, and be astounded. For I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe it if told. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, who march through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings not their own. So we're going to go back to verse 5 there, where the Lord says, look, and actually that's a plural word, so it means it's not just to Habakkuk, it's to all the people, to all the righteous people, and he's saying, all right, look around, look among the nations, and the word for nations there is the Hebrew word goyim, which means the non-Jews, and so God is saying, I'm not only working in Judah, I'm working worldwide. This is a global agenda that I have right here. And so, and then he wants them to see from God's viewpoint, that eternal perspective, what God might be doing. It's not just Judah, it's the world that God is working in. And he says, wonder and be astounded. And that Hebrew word means to be bewildered or dumbfounded, or, you know, I'm thinking speechless. You have nothing to say after you hear what God is doing. And really, again, this is something Habakkuk never would have dreamed would be God's answer to his prayer. He, I think, really wanted God to save his people, to give them a time of repentance and revival and bring them back, like under the king of Josiah. And no, God has a different plan. And so God's plan is, I'll get to that in just a minute. I forgot to tell you, the rest of verse 5 talks about, for I'm doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. And again, he's tipping Habakkuk off to the fact that God is doing something big, mighty, more than Habakkuk ever would have dreamed of. And we're going to see that that's about using the Chaldeans as an instrument of discipline for Judah, but also what God is doing worldwide in all things. Interestingly enough, Paul takes this verse and uses it in Acts in the New Testament. And we're going to go there and we're going to see how he uses the verse. And I think it's going to help us understand, again, what God is doing in all of history and how really God's plan throughout human history has been to send his son Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so if we go to Acts chapter 13, it's going to be verse 38 or so, we're going to find that Paul was giving a sermon to a synagogue in Syria, and he was running through some of the Old Testament history, and then he comes to Jesus. And so this is that astounding work that they never would have understood. But there's a couple key things in there, because what happens in Jesus is the law, again, never could save us, but Jesus, who perfectly kept the law and then died on the cross for our sins as our atonement for our sins, he kept the law, and he's the one that makes us righteous. So I'm reading here in Acts 13, verse 23, Paul writes, or speaks, actually, he says, of this man's offspring God has brought to Israel Savior Jesus, as he promised. And then later on in verse 30, he said, that he died on the cross, and then in verse 30 said, but he raised him from the dead, which validated who Jesus was and his work on the cross. And then finally we're getting to verse 36, when he says that Jesus, but he whom God raised up did not see corruption. And going on, then we find where Paul is setting up his quote from Habakkuk. He says, let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And that's the key thing. Forgiveness is coming in Jesus Christ. And by him, everyone who believes is freed. The Greek word actually means justified. We've mm-hmm. talked about what that means, to be redeemed and justified and made righteous from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest what is said in the prophets should come about. And this is where Paul references Habakkuk. And he says, look, you scoffers, be astounded and perish, for I'm doing a work in your days, a work you will not believe, even if one tells it to you. And so he's referencing Habakkuk's writing, but he's saying, I'm doing an even more astounding work and have done it in Jesus Christ. And so now he's letting them know. So I find it fascinating that God's word in the Old Testament has a meaning to the time there, but then when the New Testament writers take it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and they expand it and we understand all what God might be doing, that a huge, astounding, speechless, our reaction ends up being speechless to what God has said. So then back to Habakkuk, okay? God is bringing judgment on Judah through the Chaldeans, and we already see in verse 6 that they're a bitter and hasty nation, and so we know they are cruel, and they are successful, and they're powerful, and the rest of the verses we're studying today are going to just describe who they are and how they treat people, and it's not good. It's not good to be their victim. We also see in Jeremiah 51:20 that it says Babylon is God's instrument of judgment. And that's how God chose to discipline his children and to cause them to go to exile before he brought them back. But we know God's word is true. What he says he will do, he does. But we can also hold to his promises. So we're going to now go to Habakkuk chapter 1 and read verses 7 through 11, the concluding portion for our study today. And this is talking about the Chaldeans, the Babylonians. The Chaldeans were kind of like the ethnic group, and Babylon is the city and the area they held. And so either one, it means the same thing. Anyway, talking about them, we first find out about their status, who they are. It says, they are dreaded and fearsome. Their justice and dignity go forth from themselves. Really, they're a law to themselves. They respect no one. They do exactly what they want to do. It's kind of that idea of judges. Each one did what was right in his own eyes. They were mighty, so they did what they wanted to. Verse 8 says, their horses were swifter than leopards, more fierce than the evening wolves. Their horsemen press proudly on. And so they've got a cavalry that's speedy. That was, the fastest thing in that day. And so they were terror-producing because of how quickly they could come upon and attack someone. They were good hunters, and they were fast. It says their horsemen come from afar, they fly like an eagle, swift to devour. And we see in Jeremiah that he predicts that the people who will conquer Jerusalem will be like an eagle, that same idea of coming very fast. Verse 9 tells us they all come for violence. Remember that word? We talked about that before. Just that malicious intent of destroying others. All their faces forward, they gather captives like sand. And the idea is their hordes of them just advance, and they're unstoppable, and they just come forward and destroy. We also find in Jeremiah 5:17 and Lamentations 4:19, they devour everything. Harvest, food, sows, flocks, herds, vines, fortresses, fig trees. They're just, it's like scorched earth behind them, and so it's just a terrible, terrible picture. And they also hunt down people. You can't escape from them because they're quick and they go. So they're very successful in what they do. They are a military machine, and they accomplish their purposes. Verse 10 says, at kings they scoff, and at rulers they laugh. They laugh at every fortress, for they pile up earth and take it. So you can just imagine the siege ramps being built up to the fortified cities. You're not safe in your city. They're going to take you, and they do. They conquered Jerusalem 3 times, and the final time they utterly destroyed it. And then verse 11 says, they sweep by like the wind and go on, guilty men whose own might is their God. And so we find out that they're proud. They're a God to themselves. Their might means they're right. They worshiped their own God. They were not accountable to the God of heaven. And we're also going to see throughout the book of Habakkuk that that was their downfall. They didn't know the one true God, and they did not respect him or act justly. And so we're going to find out in this book that God uses them as an instrument of discipline, but God is not pleased because they go way beyond what they should have done. And they themselves will also encounter his discipline. We're going to find that in the next cycle where Habakkuk talks to God and he answers again.
And you know, just the idea that God gave him an answer that he just wasn't expecting. And as you were talking about that, it just seems so much like our time. What we desire, what we want is revival, repentance for our nation. We want that so much, and we pray for that. I know we do. Maybe that's not what God has in mind for us.
Well, we don't know.
We don't know.
But ultimately, we trust God is good.
Yes.
His plan is good. And whatever way he takes us, if we're close to him, we'll be fine.
Mm. Thank you so much, Connie. Really appreciate this. And you've got all the notes today. What kind of things are we going to be looking at in today's notes? Do we have some special assignments?
Yes, I have some verses written out for you from some of the prophets, Isaiah, who was, you know, 50 to 100 years before Habakkuk, and then also Daniel and Jeremiah. And so there's some other things to just kind of flesh out the aspects of the Babylonians. And just so we understand again, they were a fierce, feared group of people.
Yeah, in much the same way today, we've got groups in the world that are feared and very mighty and swift and growing in strength. So today, as we look at this, we can kind of see the same heart of what was going on back in the days of Habakkuk is happening here in our day as well. So ladies, we know what we need to pray for. We need God's will to be done, and we need to draw close to him. We're going to leave it here at the table. When we come back, more about this study, and I hope you can stick with us. We'll be right back.